Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of KHOI Community Radio's Capital Week, your window on the world of Iowa politics, where we explore and analyze who's been making news in and around the state capital, what that news is, and what it all means. I'm Dennis Hart, joined as always by my partner in politics, Laura Bellin, of the blog site Bleeding Heartland. Welcome, Laura. This is our 114th broadcast.
Good to be here, Dennis.
We have so much to dive into on this broadcast, including, of course, Donald Trump heading to court in Manhattan tomorrow, Tuesday, to face charges brought by a grand jury. We also have a ton to talk about with the Iowa State Legislature, which bills are still alive and which are dead after last Friday's funnel. But first, we both want to acknowledge the success, the great success of the Iowa Hawkeye women's basketball team. They made their way to the NCAA tournament final in Dallas on Sunday and lost to LSU. But without doubt, Laura, it was the best season in the University of Iowa's basketball history for the men's or women's teams.
It was very exciting. The last time the men at the University of Iowa played for a national championship was in 1956. They lost to a team from San Francisco whose star player was Bill Russell. But this was just great. It was great for women's sports generally. It'll be great for the University of Iowa. Studies have shown that applications to universities increase. It'll help the University of Iowa's recruiting. And it was exciting to watch, even though the outcome last night wasn't what most Iowans were hoping for.
Congratulations again, Hawkeyes. We can hardly wait for next year. All right, let's get into it. Donald Trump, here we go again. Former President Donald Trump is in Manhattan tonight as we go live on this Monday night. He's going to court tomorrow for arraignment after a grand jury indicted him for making a hush money payment to porn actress Stormy Daniels in 2016. Laura, we are in uncharted waters now.
We are. I want to emphasize two things. First of all, like every criminal defendant, Donald Trump is presumed innocent. So people have to remember that. Also, we don't know all of the charges. We know that at least some of the charges are related to that hush money payment to Stormy Daniels. One of the last witnesses the grand jury heard from was the former leader of the National Enquirer that was trying to keep the story from becoming public during the 2016 campaign. But it's possible that there are other financial crimes, tax evasion crimes related to the Trump Organization. The prosecutors in Manhattan have been said to be turning up the heat on Alan Weisselberg, who is the former CFO of the Trump Organization. So we really don't know what he's been charged with, but he is presumed innocent.
No commander-in-chief has ever been charged with a crime until now. It's going to be quite a week in New York, quite a year in terms of the presidential campaign. And Republicans last week rallied around Trump immediately after his indictment, though they do not know, nor do we, as of this Monday night, what's in the indictment, but they were all rallying around him.
Yes, I was listening to some podcasts over the weekend, and all over the country, it was like Republican politicians were reading from the same script about the indictment being a sham, politically motivated, witch hunt, illegitimate, very similar to the statements that we saw from top Iowa Republicans, and generally not much interest in waiting to see what he's been charged with and how this plays out. Also, I want to mention that you said that Donald Trump is in Manhattan. There was reporting today that he was apparently offered the opportunity to be arraigned via Zoom and stay in Mar-a-Lago, and he declined to do that. So it seems that he is not reluctant to have this spectacle that we're going to see on Tuesday.
Well, he believes this is good for him.
Yes, and his team raised about $7 million, I think, in about the day or two after he was indicted. So yes, I think this is something that he sees rallying Republicans in sympathy to him.
Just about the only Republican who did not fully endorse Donald Trump, even before they know what he's been indicted for, was Asa Hutchinson, the former Arkansas governor, who announced yesterday on television, why not on TV, he's running for the GOP nomination for president. He did not fully endorse Trump. In fact, he said he ought to step aside.
Yes. And he said that of course, he was a little bit cautious, but generally he thinks it would be better for the Republican Party to move beyond Trump. The other candidates are in a difficult position because they're trying to make the case with Republican voters, hey, support me, but on the other hand, really defending Trump against this Manhattan DA. So I think that Asa Hutchinson must be just hoping that lightning will strike. If things get really bad, perhaps there might be even more criminal indictments, then maybe he could be the only person who's carved out this niche, a kind of anti-Trump niche. But it's just hard to see what the lane would be for him in the Republican Party. And he's not that well known, and it's not going to be that easy for him to become well known before the Iowa caucuses.
And just briefly, CNN came out with a poll today in the wake of the indictment. Now, again, American people don't know what the president has been indicted for, so I'm not sure how much weight I put on this one, but 60% of those polls say they approve of the indictment.
Yes, 40% disapprove. I mean, that was interesting. It's similar to what I've seen, some approval and unfavorable numbers for Trump. Again, this is a national poll, not an Iowa poll. His disapproval numbers are fairly high. 76% in the same poll say that politics played a role in the indictment. But again, people don't know. Nobody but the grand jury has seen the evidence that's been presented, and we don't even know what he's been charged with.
All right, let's jump back into the Iowa State Legislature because we have so much to talk about. Last Friday was a final deadline. That simply means that the legislation to be considered down the road, the rest of the session had to be passed in one house and in the committee in the other house. There are exceptions. We won't get into all of that. But here is our list, the Capitol Week list of what is still alive in the state legislature. First thing, maybe the biggest thing, the governor's parental rights bill.
Yes, this is the big education-related bill that the governor proposed that includes a lot of material limiting library books, no teaching about gender identity or sexual orientation in kindergarten through sixth grade. It would remove from the mandatory curriculum a discussion of AIDS and the HPV and the availability of a vaccine to prevent HPV. Also, what has been called a forced outing provision that schools would be required to tell parents or guardians if school staff believe that a student is expressing a different gender at school. There's a lot in this bill. The Senate has approved one version that is somewhat close to the governor's proposal. The House Education Committee advanced it last week, but with a big amendment that replaced some portions and added some other bills that the House had previously approved that hadn't seen any action in the Senate.
And again, everything we're about to talk about is still alive and can be considered in the next few weeks of the legislative session. And among them, a bill setting a cap on how much Iowans can get for pain and suffering in lawsuits against trucking companies.
Yes, this one has been a priority for Republican leadership for a long time. There are some very influential Republican donors who are involved in the trucking industry. And the big question is, will the Senate Republicans accept this amendment? The House substantially changed the bill. They not only did they increase the cap from 2 million to 5 million, but they greatly limited the kinds of vehicles that would qualify for this liability limit. They reduced the shield that the trucking companies would get in terms of what kinds of negligence would exempt them from a lawsuit. So I would guess that eventually the Senate will take this amendment, but it's possible that we could see some chicken being played here. The Senate might insist on their own, something closer to their own original bill and send this thing back to the lower chamber.
Also still alive, a bill that would increase the penalties for fentanyl.
Yes, and I don't think there's any organized opposition to this bill increasing the penalties for manufacture, distribution, and possession of drugs containing fentanyl. So I don't know why this isn't already through both chambers, but I anticipate that this will be moving pretty quickly here.
And still alive, a child pornography bill.
Yes. So this would enhance the penalties for people convicted of crimes related to child exploitation. I do think that this will pass. I want to mention that there were several other criminal justice bills that died last week in the House because the House Judiciary Committee abruptly canceled their meeting that was planned for last Thursday. And that had the effect of killing several Senate-approved criminal justice bills. And so in theory, they're dead for the session. But you just never know. Leadership can make exceptions to these rules. And if some people in the Senate insist on it, it's possible that a few other bills in the criminal justice field could come back.
Next couple of bills I'm going to mention involve vehicles. The first one, cell phones in vehicles.
Yes, yeah, so current Iowa law bars texting while driving, but it doesn't bar people from holding a cell phone. And law enforcement has said it's been very difficult to enforce because if they pull someone over, it's hard to prove that someone was actually texting. So this would say that you could not hold a phone. You would have to, if you use a phone while driving, it would have to be in a hands-free mode.
Also, firearms in vehicles.
Yeah, so this was proposed a few years ago. It was left out of a big omnibus gun bill that included stand your ground and some other things, but it would allow gun owners to leave loaded weapons in parked cars at places like outside private businesses or schools.
Also, a bill that's still alive, birth control. This is not birth control in vehicles. It's a bill that allows Iowans 18 and older to get birth control from a pharmacist without first seeing a doctor.
So this is one that in principle, the majority of this House and the Senate are behind this. The House language is more similar to what Governor Reynolds proposed. The Senate language is a little bit different. So this will be probably negotiated. This one may not pass until closer to the end when they're making the final deals. But I do anticipate that something like this will get to the governor's desk.
And let's talk about a bill that's still alive involving midwives.
Yes, and Iowa has a shortage of labor and delivery services. A lot of rural hospitals have closed their labor and delivery wards. And this is a proposal that has been, people have been working on this for more than 20 years. And finally, it is on the cusp of passing. It made it through the House almost unanimously. And last year, it got killed in the Senate State Government Committee. But this year, it emerged from the Senate committee with only one dissenting vote. So I don't know when this will be scheduled for a floor vote in the Iowa Senate, but it does seem that the majority support that. And we just had news today in the Des Moines Register that Mercy Hospital in Des Moines is closing its midwives practice. So there really is a need for more licensed midwives in Iowa.
And here's one that's highly controversial. Many bills are, this one especially, this one involving child labor.
Yes, this has gotten a lot of publicity, and this bill is in a strange legislative place right now. It's on what's called the unfinished business calendar, because as you mentioned, after the second funnel, the only bills that are alive are tax bills, spending bills, or bills that have been approved by one chamber and a committee in the other. Now, this bill has gotten through committee in both the House and the Senate, but it has not been brought to the floor in either chamber. I think that there's some reluctance. There's been a lot of blowback about possibly putting children in danger, what kind of liability protections businesses would have. And I do think that this is enough of a priority that it will end up passing. But again, I expect this to be happening more later toward the very end of the session.
Among other things, just briefly, it would let 16 and 17-year-olds serve alcohol at businesses with an alcohol retail license and put some kids on the line at some manufacturing places that normally they wouldn't be.
And it would also allow them to work shifts later in the evening, both during the year and over the summer. They would be able to work 2 hours later than they can under current Iowa law.
Another bill still alive, one involving asset tests.
This is a big controversial bill. So this one, there's actually a public hearing in the Iowa House tomorrow morning. That's Tuesday morning. This is the one that would establish a limit for people who qualify right now for federal food assistance and Medicaid. And it would result, according to the fiscal note, it would result in thousands of Iowans losing those benefits. The Democrats have been really making a lot of noise about this bill, as have there are several dozen interest groups registered against this bill. And the only entities registered in favor are companies or organizations that could stand to benefit from having a contract to provide some of these services to the state. So this is going to be controversial. I think that the House is interested enough in this that something will pass. I don't know how much it will change from the Senate version. Right now, the asset test is $15,000 in total household assets, and they exclude your house, the value of your first car, and the value of your second car if that's less than $10,000. But it's really quite a low asset test, and even things like children's savings accounts and college savings accounts would count toward that $15,000 limit.
And here's a bill that's still alive that is aimed directly at Iowa Democratic State Auditor Rob Sand.
Yes, well, of course, the Republican bill sponsors dispute that this is aimed at State Auditor Rob Sand, but it seems not like a coincidence that the Republican-controlled legislature came up with a bill that limits the state auditor's authority right after the Democratic state auditor was reelected. So the idea of this is that it would limit what kinds of information the auditor can get, and also, most importantly, I think, that would say that the auditor cannot go to court to enforce a subpoena. If a state agency doesn't want to hand over certain information, it would go to a three-member board for arbitration, and the governor's appointee would have the deciding vote on that board. So the state auditor, Rob Sand, has been very strongly opposed to it. We've seen CPA organizations, the National State Auditor Association, has sent letters to legislators saying, this is really dangerous. This could even jeopardize Iowa's federal funding, like billions of dollars that Iowa gets for Medicaid that the state auditor is required to audit. Now, right now, last week, the House State Government Committee approved this bill, but with a very significant amendment that they said would resolve some of the concerns that CPAs have raised about audit standards and government accounting standards. And we'll see what the neutral observers say about that. And we'll also see whether Senate Republicans are willing to be on board with this. But it does look like something very similar to this bill is going to pass.
And a couple of more bills that are still alive that have wide impact. One involves social media. This one would prohibit people under the age of 18, and there are a lot of people under the age of 18, from using or creating social media. This one seems wild.
Well, I have to confess, Dennis, I missed the boat on this one because I forgot to check the night before on to see whether there were any subcommittee hearings on Thursday. Thursday was that last day before that second funnel deadline, and there were a lot of big committee hearings, but I forgot to check, and they ended up scheduling at the last minute a 7:45 a.m. subcommittee on this bill. And there was a lot of reluctance, even among one of the Republican members of the subcommittee, on this idea of a total ban of people under age 18 to use or create social media accounts. And so it sounds like this bill may be amended to say that children would need parental consent to create an account. I mean, one issue that was raised during the subcommittee, according to other reports, is that a lot of schools, I have a high schooler myself right now, and in a lot of schools, they have to do work online, they have to submit work online, and they have to create accounts on things that, depending on how you define it, you might think of as a social media network. That the Des Moines Public Schools, for instance, has thousands of students on this network. It's not what people, this bill is probably aimed at things like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, but social media networks can be much broader than that. And there was also some concern that when kids are looking for work, if they can't create a LinkedIn account, for instance, that could hurt students who are looking for their first job. So I think that this may be amended to be something closer to a parental consent bill.
And one more bill that's still alive, and since baseball season has started, this is appropriate. It would prohibit Major League Baseball from blacking out games to customers in Iowa.
And I just heard somebody talking about this. I was running an errand and somebody was complaining that he wanted to watch some baseball on opening day and all the games he was trying to watch were blacked out. And this is frustrating to Iowans because most Iowans live several hours from any stadium where Major League Baseball games are played. I mean, it's one thing to black out the game in the city of Chicago when you're trying to encourage people to go to the stadium, but it's really not feasible for most Iowans to drive to these stadiums. Now, this bill I see as mostly a messaging bill. The Iowa legislature doesn't really have the authority to tell Major League Baseball what they can do, but I think that they're trying to convey, this is a bipartisan bill, the legislators are trying to convey to Major League Baseball that this is a really big issue that bothers a lot of Iowans.
All right, let's take a breath here. It is 17 after the hour, wherever you're listening to us, and you are in tune with KHRE Radio's Capital Week, otherwise known these days as Action News. We're going so fast. Your one-stop source for everything political going on in Iowa. We're your anchors, Dennis Hart and Laura Bellin, and we're here every week at this time to talk about politics, Iowa style, and how it's affecting all of us. All right, co-anchor, here we go. What bills did not survive the funnel? The biggest one, well, there are many big ones. Let's start with eminent domain.
Yeah, this is probably the biggest one. This is the bill that would limit the ability of companies to obtain privately owned land to build carbon dioxide pipelines across Iowa. And everybody knew all year that this is going to be a heavy lift to get this through the Iowa Senate. But the House Republicans were really unhappy that the Senate, they did not schedule a subcommittee on this bill. The subcommittee chair, Michael Busolo, is someone who used to work for Bruce Rastetter's Summit Agricultural Group. That is one of the groups that's trying to build the pipeline. And so it wasn't very subtle that the bill was assigned to his subcommittee. And he said, well, I'm not holding a hearing on it because the Senate Commerce Committee doesn't have a meeting scheduled this week anyway, so it couldn't get through the funnel. People were not happy about it. And in fact, that some people believe that that played into the House Judiciary Committee canceling that meeting that I mentioned that killed a bunch of Senate bills, because the House Judiciary Committee Chair Stephen Holt was the floor manager of this eminent domain bill, and he thinks this is very important. This is a high priority for him.
Another bill that went down the tubes, it is dead, involved public lands.
This was controversial, and this was one where it was supported by the Iowa Farm Bureau and some other agricultural groups, and it would have said that the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Transportation have to prioritize maintaining public land and public trails and things like that in parks over creating new ones. And the concern was that it could lead to a moratorium on land acquisition. And this is something that several times under the Republican trifecta, there have been different bills that tried to address this. They've always generated a lot of opposition. I was actually standing in the hallway outside the House State Government Committee. Everybody thought this bill was going to be on the agenda Thursday. And then it ended up not coming up to a vote. And when I asked the committee chair later, she said, we just didn't have the votes to move it out of committee.
Another bill that went down involved the death penalty.
Yeah, so this is something that some people in the Iowa Senate have been working on for several years. Different different wording, but always very limited. Reinstating capital punishment. In this case, it would be cases where a child is kidnapped, raped, and murdered. All of those conditions would have to be met. And the bill sponsors are very open about the fact that the goal is just to get capital punishment back on the books in Iowa. Then they would come back later to try to expand what qualifies as a capital murder offense. However, it got out of committee in the Senate, never came up to a floor vote. And I was able to confirm last week that even if it did get voted out of the Senate, the key House committee chairs are just not interested in moving any bill on the death penalty, regardless of how limited it is. So this is dead for this year and probably dead for the foreseeable future.
And another bill that's dead for this year is a ban on the gay panic defense.
Well, this one has now passed the Iowa House unanimously, I think 3 years in a row, and it just never gets anywhere. It can never get out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I don't know of anyone who is on record publicly opposing this, but clearly there are several Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee that for whatever reason don't want to move this bill that would say that if you're accused of assault or some other violent crime, that you can't say that it was a mitigating factor that the person you assaulted or killed was gay or transgender.
Let's just lump these next few bills together as they never had a chance. Legalized recreational marijuana, ban on abortion-inducing drugs, total abortion ban, and constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage. Those were going nowhere.
Yeah, well, the legalized marijuana, that's something that Democrats have been pushing, and they knew it would go nowhere, but they wanted to get the conversation going. And I think they'll keep introducing this bill, even though it doesn't have support in the majority party. The ban on abortion-inducing drugs, I'm keeping my eye on this for next year because some other states have attempted to do this. Kansas, I think, is one. And I think that Iowa may be, depending on how the Iowa Supreme Court resolves that decision, probably coming later this year related to the 2018 abortion ban, this may be something that's a live wire next year. The total abortion ban, not likely to happen, but there are going to be a significant number of Republicans in the Iowa House and Senate who want something like that to pass. And as for the constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage, I mean, that does not have majority support in the Republican caucus, and I don't expect that to come to the floor anytime soon.
Another bill that went down involved teaching firearm safety in schools.
Yes, so this had bipartisan support, so I'm not sure exactly what the concerns were. I mean, the idea was to make sure that kids are taught what to do, things like don't touch a gun if you see a gun, tell an adult, and so on. So I'm not sure why that didn't advance, but there just doesn't seem to be as much action on guns this year.
And finally, one more that went down, banning the state's three public universities from using state or private money for DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yes, and I think the Board of Regents effectively killed this one off, headed this one off when they announced that they were going to conduct their own review of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. And for now, they are not launching any new DEI programs, and they're going to see what happens. I mean, ironically, this lawsuit that was recently settled involving the University of Iowa football team, one of the terms of the settlement that the university agreed to is that they have to hire somebody and they have to fund some diversity, equity, and inclusion programs related to the football players. And so that would be very difficult if this bill passed, but it's not coming to consideration in the floor.
We've probably got everybody's head spinning right now. Let's just briefly review what's already happened in the legislature. Some significant bills have been passed and the governor's either signed them or is about to. Perhaps the biggest one so far is the governor's private school scholarship program.
Yes, this is the bill that says that it's going to be the state providing money every year for Iowans to send their children to private schools, K through 12 schools. The first couple of years, there are income limits, but after that, no income limits. So it is going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars a year expected. And this is something that the governor, it was a big fight the last few years, but she was able to get it signed into law before the end of January this year.
Another big one that passed, agency reorganization. Both chambers passed her 1,500-page government reorganization plan, and I understand she's going to sign that baby into law tomorrow, Tuesday.
Yeah, that's the schedule. She's going to be signing it tomorrow, but it's interesting that I heard somebody describe this bill last year as the full lobbyist employment act, because they anticipate that there are going to be a lot of issues that come up over the next 6 months to a year, and that next year the legislature will be back tinkering with different areas of this bill, certain things that there might just be contradictions with certain boards and commissions that were eliminated, or when programs are transferred from one agency to another. Not all of that is likely to go smoothly.
And a couple of bills that the governor's already signed into law, gender-affirming care, banning it for transgender kids, and bathrooms.
Yeah. So as we mentioned, the education bill that's still pending has some provisions that are targeting the LGBTQ community, but two bills that have already been signed into law. This is a ban on any either puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, or surgery for transgender children under age 18. Also, the bathroom ban. This applies not only to students, but to staff and visitors to schools. Any school building facilities like restrooms, locker rooms, changing areas, those can only be used by people aligning with the sex that's listed on their birth certificate, not their gender identity.
I'm sorry, the governor has signed into law already a limit on medical malpractice lawsuits damages.
Yes, this was one that didn't pass for several years in a row, but got through this year. It's a $2 million limit if your devastating injury or death happens in a hospital, and $1 million if it happens in some other medical setting.
And she signed into law. No, I'm not sure whether she has or not. You're going to have. Yes, she has. The Rural Emergency Hospitals Act.
Yes. And this one passed unanimously. This is something mainly designed to help the Keokuk Hospital reopen in the southeast corner of the state, but supposedly may help other hospitals avoid closure, that they won't be having inpatient services, but they'll have basically like a 24-hour trauma care or urgent care. And at least then that shortens people's ambulance rides, people in those communities.
And that's what happened last week. With all the bills that passed are still alive, they're not alive. We hope we've given you a concise summary of all of this. Meanwhile, you were busy today because you covered a Senate Appropriations Committee that was a hearing that was quite unusual.
So the biggest thing that the legislature still needs to do before they adjourn is pass a budget for next year. And the Senate and the House Republicans have not been working as closely together on the budget as they did for many years. The Senate Republicans don't participate in what are called joint budget subcommittees, which is something the legislature has used for like five decades at least. And so today, the Appropriations Committee moved four budget bills. I've just never seen anything like this. These are bills funding large areas of the government. So, for instance, one of them deals with agriculture and natural resources agencies and programs. One of them deals with education related programs. One of them has workforce development type programs. And there's no numbers in this bill. It's just blank spaces in where you would put the dollar amounts and the full-time equivalent positions funded. It's just like a blank slate. And that they just, the Republicans voted these four bills out of committee on party line votes. And I guess this is going to be the beginning of their negotiating posture with the Iowa House. But I've just never seen a bill advance that doesn't have any money. They have no idea how much is going to be spent.
Couple of minutes left with a couple of issues. The legislature, as we say, hopes to adjourn by Friday, April 28th. What are the odds?
Well, I don't know. I've been asking a lot of people. I mean, it could be that they get out of town early, but they still supposedly want to work on some property tax reform. That's very complicated. And that's the kind of thing that could take a long time. Also, depending on what happens with this child labor and the trucking bill, if those go back and forth, I wouldn't be surprised if the session does drag a little bit into May. I don't expect it to go all the way until almost Memorial Day like it did last year, but that kind of stalemate can't be ruled out.
90 seconds, an interesting state Supreme Court decision last week, blasting what we call late night legislative log rolling. It's complex, but what does it mean?
So every year in one of the last budget bills approved, there's always called the Christmas tree bill because they always cram a lot of unrelated provisions into that bill. And this was one of these things that was passed literally in the overnight hours, the last night of the 2020 legislative session. And the Iowa Supreme Court has rejected most cases that challenge this kind of log rolling because they've said we don't want to interfere with legislative affairs. But in this case, they put down their foot and they said this is a line that has been crossed. The legislators didn't even know what they were voting on. There was no opportunity for public input. And this bill did not deal with a single subject, and it was in violation of the Constitution. So they enjoined that part of a budget bill. It related to electric transmission lines. And they said they sent the case back to lower court. But it's pretty clear that the companies challenging this provision are going to prevail based on that ruling. But the big question is this going to change how the legislators approach putting together this year's budget bills? Will there be less policy crammed into those budget bills at the end? And I haven't been able to get an answer yet from the Appropriations Committee chairs.
10 seconds, Laura, what do you expect this week?
I'm going to that public hearing tomorrow related to the asset test for Medicaid and food assistance, and then just waiting to see what happens on trucking and some of these other bills.
And we'll find out everything that happens, including President Trump, former President Trump. We'll talk about it next week. See you then, Laura.
See you then, Dennis.
You have been listening to Capital Week on KHY Community Radio, your listening post for politics, Iowa style. A reminder that the views and opinions expressed here did not necessarily reflect the opinions of KHOI or its staff. Laura and I will be back next week in the same time slot when we'll talk about everything interesting, important, or entertaining about politics in Iowa, and there's plenty of that. We hope you can join us. Until then, we hope you have a safe, happy, and very healthy week.